Katie Geen and the Girls are a hard-driving, blues-drenched trio with deep Kansas City roots. They are one of the it bands in town, at least in part due to their 2013 win in the Kansas City Blues Challenge. That win slingshotted the group's career, sent them to Europe and all over this country. Let me introduce the band to you right now. Katie Geen plays guitar and handles the lead vocals. Katie, what a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Claire Adams is also here. She sings and plays bass. Claire, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Stephanie Williams is also here. She plays drums. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Well, Katie, the lyrics to Don't Get Bitter, the song we're listening to right now, which I just love. All I can say is learn to love one thing before you go giving yourself away. You're driving at what there, Katie?
I'm driving at you gotta love yourself. Mm-hmm. That song I wrote for a friend, actually, that was going through a pretty bad breakup. And but it's basically just about, you know, trying to make the best out of a situation like that, or any kind of situation that could, you know, make you feel bitter about life, you know.
I just love it when that track began. You all just were sitting down, and you've all played that song how many times? You're all you're playing the drums, Stephanie and Claire. You're playing the bass out. You're air guitaring right here in the studio. How do you like that song, Claire?
Oh, it's super fun.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
It's a really fun bass line, and I start it, so it's like they can't start without me. Well, if it comes up on the set and I forget about it, you know, they'll be like looking like, come on, we gotta start the song.
So. Gotta start playing the bass now. Stephanie, what do you like about that song?
Oh, I just like that it's short and sweet and happy sounding.
Oh, it is just a good song.
Puts me in a good mood.
Yeah. Okay, Claire, I'm gonna embarrass you now, okay?
Uh-oh.
We were at Knuckleheads one night listening to y'all with the Petersons, and they were sitting near your parents. I think you live in Topeka?
I went to high school in Topeka.
Okay.
My parents live outside of Topeka now, but I live in Kansas City.
Well, we were sitting near your parents, and your parents kept saying, look at Claire up there. She's having so much fun. And, you know, you play with a smile on your face, unlike almost anybody I've ever seen before. You are having so much fun up there.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's also, honestly, I think kind of my nervous tic is to smile, so it's like if I have any kind of anxiety, gets expressed more as happiness.
Well, there are worse nervous tics than that one in the world, I think. Steffi, do you have a nervous tic too, or not really?
I don't think so. I think I just kind of bundle up the energy and use it, and then I get to hit things the whole time, so.
Yeah. And that, which helps.
It does help tremendously.
Well, Katie, I'm just thinking, you know, you guys are a trio, three people. You put out a whole lot of sound. What's the challenge of playing in a trio format as opposed to having, you know, five or six people alongside to cover up your mistakes? Because if you screw up, I'm guessing there's nowhere to run, right?
Right, yeah, you're a little more exposed.
Yeah. But why trio? But, why a trio?
Well, it actually started a few years ago as a duo, so it was even more stripped down, and then
just guitar and
drums with Go-Go Ray.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Called Katie and Go-Go.
Right.
And then Go-Go went full-time playing with Samantha Fish, and I was, you know, trying to reform, and so thought like throwing the bass in there would really help to fill it out, because that I think is the most challenging part of any like small piece, you know, two piece, three piece.
The basses?
To fill out the sound.
Yeah, right.
So I think, but we've all like at this point, you know, gotten really used to each other's like strengths and, you know, the tones and stuff that really work mm-hmm. for some songs and some moments. And I think we just got so used to playing together, you know, we really understand each other's dynamics.
So in your view then, it works because why? Is that the reason it's working so well? Because you know each other so well? Or what else is it that's making this thing go the way it is?
I think it's just our chemistry, and that, you know, we trust each other, and we've naturally play really well together.
Yeah. Claire, you agree with that?
Yeah. Also, I think having the kind of smaller formation simplifies a lot of band aspects as far as traveling and scheduling and all of that. Having just a three piece, it makes it feel really tight-knit in mm-hmm. all aspects, not just music.
There aren't as many schedules to deal with and overlapping issues. You can sort of bear down a little
kind
more quickly.
Kind of focus in, yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie, is this? Do you have another gig besides this, or has this become sort of your full-time thing?
This, as far as music goes, has become mainly my full-time thing. I do have a day job, but I also play in Claire's, eight-piece now? That's what she's talking about. Yeah. She has an eight-piece band, so.
You all have extra, is that in response to a three-piece Katie Guillen and the girls?
Yeah. No, the large band actually happened first, and all three of us play in that project as well, but then there are now four, sometimes five people outside of that to try to schedule.
Eight people, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
Around. Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of wrangling.
Lots of wrangling.
In what sense, Katie?
Oh, just even getting a confirmation for like band practice, I think, yeah. would be challenging. Yeah.
You're like, trying to get everybody there, right?
Yeah, everyone in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Katie, your roots are in the heart of Overland Park, Kansas. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Tell me
that's
about
where I grew up.
Where you came from and how'd you get to where you are?
Well, I'm from Overland Park and went to school at Shawnee Mission South. And pretty much, I mean, through high school, would come out to Kansas City and go to lots of the blues jams at like Grand Emporium, BB's Onside Barbecue.
You were showing up all over the place, I've read.
Yeah. And that was... I was, started around 14, and my dad basically was my sidekick. He would just take me out. We'd go see concerts. He took me to a lot of concerts, too, but he took me out to several jams, and it just kind of, like, unfolded, like, just meeting all kinds of different musicians that would then invite you to another jam, and, it's the whole Kansas City blues music community kind of just opened up at that time, and that's a big part of, I think, what put me here, even though there's been things after that, but that was pretty much the start of it.
Sounds like that's how you and your dad connected at those awkward teenage years. You just hung together at music things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Which was really fun. We did really connect over that. And
when did you pick up the guitar for the first time?
When I was 8.
So early on.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your dad encouraging you to do that too?
No, actually, my mom was the one that actually played guitar. She played when she was a teenager, like folk music. And also my grandpa played. He played flamenco guitar, her dad. And I don't know what it was, but when I was 8, I just begged them for a guitar. I think I saw a picture of like an electric guitar in a magazine or something. And I was like, that looks so cool. I just want to.
I've read that you picked it up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
The playing came pretty quick.
Yeah, it did. A lot of that had to do, I think, with like, I started on piano before that, but it did come quickly. And I think just because I really liked it,
But the singing for you was a bigger challenge.
Right. That did not happen until, oh gosh, probably I was like 17 or 18.
Why? Why was that a harder trick for you to pull off?
I think just generally, as a child, I was pretty shy.
Mm-hmm.
And, even going to those jams every single time was a huge challenge for me. I would get so nervous. But, like, I think after the first time that I did it, you just experience that, the rush of playing and sort of sense of accomplishment and conquering some of those fears and anxiety.
Yeah.
And it just, in a way, kept me coming back for more because, you feel good about yourself. And so the singing came because lots of people were like, you really need to start singing,
Yeah.
And I was so comfortable just sitting there playing guitar kind of and hanging out in the background. But
it's a really interesting juxtaposition here, a shy kid who's now the lead singer for a hard-driving blues band here in Kansas City. I mean, how do you square those two? Or maybe you don't.
No, I don't think about it a lot. I mean, like, having the girls, it's like having a solid band to play with and to work on songs with is kind of the best, like, my best source of confidence, I guess, mm-hmm. And they really make me feel comfortable on stage and feel comfortable, just talking to the crowd, which has definitely been a learning process for me. But I think we've all through going through the IBC in 2014, which was a huge...
IBC being...
The International Blues Challenge in Memphis. And we had to really come together and, like, work on a set, like, super focus in on the particular set, the times, like, and basically go down and in a way compete against other bands from around the world. It's not a competition, but in a way it really feels like it.
And Stephanie, winning that thing meant what to you guys? How big a deal was that?
It was huge. I don't think we quite knew what we were getting into.
Did you think you were going to win it? Did you walk into it thinking
No,
you were
I didn't
win?
Even know what the challenge was. And Katie's like, we got a gig and it's also a competition. So
somebody had encouraged you guys to do this. This wasn't on your radar screens, right? Someone said, hey, go do this.
I believe so. That's on Katie. I just showed up and played the show and we kept advancing and it felt great. It really brought us together as friends and musicians. But, I have no idea where we just decided to do
Claire, what was your reaction to winning that thing?
The Kansas City Blues Challenge.
Yeah.
I think I was really excited. I think I had a little bit more anxiety than the other two. My competitive spirit isn't particularly strong. I'm a little bit more of like okay, you want it, you can have it.
We won, really? Fine, thanks. Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was a great experience all along the way. I feel like I'm really glad that we got to go to Memphis and all the people we got to meet. It was really cool.
Then you go to Memphis and then you wind up going around the world after winning something like that. Let's listen to some more Katie Geen and the Girls. This track is Woke Up in Spain. Katie, there's one other thing I've got to square with you while you're here, this notion and reading about you. You started guitar lessons at 12, and then you were accepted into the UMKC Conservatory of Music, but then you wound up traveling to Paraguay, of all places, and wound up changing your major to Spanish and Sociology. And again, so here you are today as a lead singer of Katie Geen and the Girls. How did that happen, that process?
Going to Paraguay.
And then switching and then out of music and going back to it. And
I couldn't quite focus on one thing. Yeah. Made my head snap, man. I went to college and I did switch my major. I ended up getting a BA in sociology and sociology and minor in Spanish. And then after college, played with some of my friends. We started a band called the Bedinas. And I got back into playing music a little more. I was still working at a coffee shop at the time. And then it just kind of unraveled. Like, I started playing with Go-Go, just started playing more and more, and it kind of happened naturally. And then when the girls started, that's after I quit my job and then just decided, hey, if I'm gonna, like, I've always loved to play music. If I'm gonna try to do it for a living, I should just go for it now. There's no better time.
A long and winding road, right?
Yeah.
Claire, you got started playing bass. How old were you?
Oh, maybe 12 or 13.
Yeah. Why did you get, what hooked you about it?
I don't really consider myself a dedicated bass player. I am just now starting to consider myself that way. I kind of played whatever for a really long time.
Yeah.
I played a lot more on guitar and a little bit.
Were your parents
bit,
okay with you going off and playing bass and guitar and all that?
Oh, yeah. I started out pretty much as a songwriter. And so when I was 15, 16, I would go and play in coffee shops. Ridiculous, original 15, 16-year-old songs that I am so glad recording technologies were not then what they are now, because I don't really want any reminders of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, that I definitely came to music more as a vocalist, more as a songwriter, and then would just pick up anything that needed to be played.
Yeah.
So Katie asked me to sit in on bass, and I was like, yeah, I'll sit in on anything.
Well, I've got so many more questions, but we're out of time. I want to go out with one more track here, If You Were Gone. This is, again, from their self-titled disc, Katie Guillen and the Girls. Let's go out with Katie Guillen and the Girls, and you guys were just great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.